Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Brad Keltner and Kevin Dunn. It is a old school hip hop hump day or a way back rap Wednesday or a old school rap Wednesday. Either way, whatever you want to call it. It's all good. All right. Play songs, rap songs from back in the day. And this is one of the all time greats from the Chronic.
I'm sure I'm going to get laughed at. Rod won't laugh at me. Well, maybe a little bit. BK will. Snoop was so clean when he came in. Remember back in the day, first time you heard this?
It was one of the greatest.
He was just a different lyricist.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It was the way the beat broke down when he came on. I'm with you. And even when they bring on Nate Dogg, how the beat breaks when Nate Dogg comes
rest
on
in
and
peace.
Stops. And yeah, the late great Nate Dogg. Late great Nate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was late. I mean, he was great.
He was great.
But he's late.
He's late.
And he's Nate.
And he's Nate.
That's a rap in itself
weird.
Right there.
It sounded weird when I said, I was like, did I say that right? It just sounded weird.
This is from the aftermath, though, guys. This is a 2001 song. This is not OG.
Oh, yeah, you're
Dre
right.
And Snoop.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he's still clean.
I don't disagree with anything you said.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because sometimes I can mix those up. And I remember when the aftermath came out, there was such skepticism that it could be anywhere near the original. And that argument can still go around, but both are really damn good.
Agreed.
Like, that was not one of those sequels that you thought, oh my God, Police Academy 5 or something like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, you're right. Everybody considers it the sequel, which I think he considers it the sequel.
I think he does too, yeah.
Yeah. All right, breaking news. Let's get to it.
This is from Shifty Adam Schefter.
Uh-oh. Is it the fake one or the real one? You didn't get hoodwinked, did you?
It's blue check.
You got to make sure.
That's what we're looking for.
Adam Schefter on Twitter. I'm better than that. Come on, guys.
I know you are.
No,
disappointed you even had to ask. Adam Schefter tweets out, with Antonio Brown's suspension eligible to end after week 8, the Seattle Seahawks are now positioned to make a push to sign him, though they are not alone. Other teams are also interested. Now, we don't have any information on who the other teams are. The only team that we have identified at this moment is the Seattle Seahawks. So you guys down with that potential partnership? I think we all know what Antonio Brown is capable of as a player. I think we also all know what Antonio Brown is as a person. What do y'all think? Would y'all be in favor or against the Seattle Seahawks, who are undefeated right now, taking a flyer on AB?
They should do it. Yeah.
How worried are you about the locker room?
They got good locker room guys.
They could deal with that.
Russell Wilson, Wagner. You know, Pete Carroll's a really good influence in that locker room. Now they got Jamal Adams. And I can even say Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
Because I know what kind of influence he is. I think they got a good a locker room presence that's strong enough where even if he comes in and he's being a knucklehead, it won't. You know, either they'll kick him out of the locker room, you know, kind of, or they'll decide, or they'll kind of, you know, recalibrate his behavior, if you will. So I think it's a good move by them. It's a high risk, but I think a higher reward potentially situation.
You got to know your locker room and what they can handle. And I know after watching The Last Dance, a lot of people saw that and thought, how was Dennis Rodman that big of a steal for them? You know who Dennis Rodman was traded for, and Greg Popovich at the time. Dumbest thing Popovich has ever said it was the best trade in San Antonio Spurs history. Rodman for Will Perdue.
Yeah.
But
boiler up.
But mostly, one of the reasons is there wasn't a lot of leverage there. Even though you had the best rebounder of all time, there were only a couple locker rooms that really could have dealt with it. And to get the best out of Rodman, you got to have strong locker rooms. This one may be one. It'd be a much better deal if he played defensive back.
Yeah, the Seahawks could use some help in that secondary, right? I mean, their offense seems to be rolling, and they actually do have good receivers for seemingly the first time in the Russell Wilson era, right? That's always been one of our biggest praises for Russ is the fact that, you know, despite playing with a lot of no-name guys on the outside, he's been able to put up really, really good numbers and lead his team to a lot of success. Well, now they've got DK. Now they've got Tyler Lockett. They've got some dudes on the outside. This would just be a luxury piece. And I think this could be pretty low risk, Rod B, because my guess is this would be a one-year incentive-laden deal. Like, I don't think Antonio Brown's going to cost a whole lot.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about imploding your locker room.
But, yeah, my point is, like, I think you could just cut him at the first sign of that happening. to where the risk would be mitigated very, very quickly. Because if he causes any sort of problems like he did in Oakland or towards the end of his tenure in Pittsburgh, then you just say, hey, man, we're fine without you. We got enough dudes on this offense. We're going to be okay. Sorry. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
I haven't done my job on this, and I will tonight, so I'm sorry for that. But where's his legal stuff right now? Wasn't there a sexual assault that
was thrown?
He's got like
two or three different things.
There were two or three, right.
Yeah, that's why he's been suspended, right? He was suspended for the first half of the season due to the league's investigation into the sexual assault case. I don't know if that thing has been completely resolved or if it's still kind of open. I mean, as of right now, once again, the league says he is clear to play starting week 9, so that's coming up just, we're about to hit week 7, so very shortly. But yeah, I don't know if there's been a legal resolution to that thing just yet. Or those things just yet. I feel like it's more than one with AB.
Right, because that's also something that I think is good, but in 2020, teams are looking at that, not because they care about it for themselves. They're worried about the public backlash,
the
blowback with fans.
Yeah, that's, you know, kind of another risk, you know, you throw in there too. But I agree. I mean, I think it's worth it for him.
I'm with you. I think it's a higher risk than BK. I get BK's point. And you can let him know that too, that, hey, man, this is one of your last leashes, if not your last. And if you give 30% of the crap that you gave some of the other teams, we may just kick you out because we can do that. We can cut this contract.
Like Baltimore did Earl Thomas.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's a better player at that time than Antonio Brown was. I mean, he was a good player for him, and they kicked him out.
Yeah, Pro Bowler last year.
Antonio Brown hadn't played in how long now? 2 years?
I think so.
It's been 2 years now?
2 years.
It was 2 years ago with the Raiders, right?
I think you're right.
Did he ever play a game for the Raiders, though?
He did not. I'm just thinking of
the Patriots. He went to like three different teams, right? Didn't he go to the Patriots, the Raiders?
He played a game for the Patriots before they cut him. So that was 2 years ago. That was the last time he played. I don't know if he ever played for the Raiders outside of Hard Knocks.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he didn't. Because remember, he had the foot thing.
And then the helmet thing.
And then the helmet thing.
God bless.
Didn't he have a thing with blow up with Mike Mayock, too?
Oh, yeah.
About the fight or something?
Yeah. Some of that was on camera. It was pretty good.
What a guy.
Oh, yes, right there.
That's a good Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the
best season of Hard Knocks.
But BK's right. He played that one game with New England. He had a touchdown catch, too.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then more legal stuff came out, and the Pats said, nah, sorry about that.
Wow.
So there you go. There's your breaking news.
Well, the Pats are a classy organization.
Of course. Yeah, they don't do anything wrong. And they're owned by a high-quality man who doesn't partake in any sort of extracurricular
activities. He is a high-quality man.
It's more about the people, not the talent.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, there's no sarcasm in my voice.
Sorry. He's an old, lonely man. That's all.
He's an old, lonely man.
His wife had died, and he had some young hottie that he was essentially, you know, been a sugar daddy for that didn't want to be a companion with him.
He was having to pay way more than $50 to please her, you know, and to get what he was looking for from her.
That's true.
Unlike that 3-star rated day spa in Florida.
He's guilty of being lonely and cheap. And that's, as a billionaire, it's not good. You shouldn't be a cheap billionaire.
We've all been
as
there.
As a thousandaire, that's not good.
That's not good. Yeah. That's true. You're right. That's a good point.
There's your breaking news. Antonio Brown will be eligible to return starting week 9, and the Seattle Seahawks are interested. Adam Schefter also reporting that other teams are interested, but we don't have any names of those other teams.
If Kansas City like pulls a coup and
gets it.
It just ends up getting Antonio Brown. Like, no! Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Tyreek Hill.
It would fit with some of the guys.
And Travis Kelce. Stop. How are you going to stop that?
You're not. Unreal. All right, let's talk some Dallas Cowboys football, some more cleanup from the debacle that took place on Monday Night Football, the Cowboys losing to Arizona 38-10. It wasn't even that close. Problems abound for America's team. The injuries continue to pile up. It feels like rock bottom. It's like the fourth time this year I think I've said that about the Cowboys, but it feels like rock bottom.
Like,
and you add up all those things, the injuries, the poor play, the 2-4 start, and now we had this report from Jane Slater of the NFL Network. We talked all about this a little bit yesterday, but we've got the audio, and we also have the audio of Mike McCarthy's response to this report. So here's what Jane Slater said about the Cowboys yesterday on NFL Network, talking about some discord in the Cowboys locker room.
But let me give you something that has been popping up this morning. You know, a lot of players with this new coaching staff have been reluctant to get back to reporters. We haven't been in the locker rooms. We haven't really gotten a sense, is this team buying into this new coaching staff? And there has sort of been these insinuations, even by the coaching staff, that perhaps these players are improvising a bit. Let me tell you what I'm now hearing from some of the players this morning. You know, now that, of course, it's 2-4, discontent starts to leak out, Andrew. I'm told this coaching staff is totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another saying, they just aren't good at their jobs. Now, fans are going to hear this, and they're going to look at the tape. We had Daniel Jeremiah a couple weeks ago pointing out on the tape, well, the players just aren't good at their jobs. So now we've got both sides, it seems, pointing the finger, while perhaps the coaches aren't doing it now the way that I'm getting this information out. I guess the point I'm trying to get to you is this thing feels very broken. We've seen in the past with Jason Garrett, no matter what the record was, this team always seemed to play for him and play up to what he was challenging them to do week in and week out. Again, this is an injury bug that we really haven't seen the likes of in Dallas, but I find that very concerning when you've had players who have not wanted to get back and really comment on the sense of where we're at with this locker room. And now some of that is beginning to come to the forefront.
So there's Jane Slater yesterday on the NFL Network, right? Not only are the Cowboys struggling on the field, they're struggling with injuries, but apparently they are struggling adapting to this new coaching staff as well. Rod B., I'm going to ask you, because you've been in NFL locker rooms, you've been in college locker rooms, of course, as well. How big of a story is this, right? And if this was an anonymous tip that was given to Jane Slater, but yep. If one person is saying this, does that sometimes resemble the feel of maybe not the entire locker room, but a decent chunk of guys in the locker room?
Yeah, because sometimes it can just be guys disgruntled, right? Got an axe to grind, he's upset, he got benched, coach got on him in front of everybody in a meeting, whatever it is, right? He's got an axe to grind. So it could easily be that. Because oftentimes, even when guys are upset with coaching, and I've been in locker rooms where you have a gripe with the coaching, with the game plan, whatever, to go outside and criticize the coaching and then kind of throw really all of the locker room under the bus, because everybody's going to assume, it could be any of you guys. Could be any of those guys talking about the coaches. I think it's defense personally, but hell, who knows? It could be offense. I mean, we have no idea. So I think, yeah, it's almost sabotage. It's a saboteur move to sabotage the coaching staff and to plant seeds of doubt in the coaching staff. I don't think we need those. I think you can just look at the product. But the reason I think it's defense, because everybody called out the defense. They called out the players
exactly.
On defense, right?
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, it was
this
Acho.
Is defense.
Yeah, it was Acho called him out. Daniel Jeremiah called him out. Troy Aikman called out the defense specifically about effort. And that's a player issue. And they were specifically saying, nothing's wrong with the game plan here, just bad effort. Then the players not giving 110%. And what was the corner that came out, the DB that said? Nobody.
Xavier
Woods was him? Oh, God. Nobody gives 110% on every play, and it's like, oh, now come on, dude. Yeah. So I think it's the defense, of course, on pace to be the worst in the history of the NFL, as BK's mentioned several times. I think it's the defense. They feel attacked.
Yeah.
They feel like everybody's coming after them, and they're the reason the Cowboys are so bad. Defense is probably going, whoa, 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 the coaching's bad too, by the way.
Yeah.
Coaching's bad. This is bad. This is bad. So it's a blame game.
This is the most the Cowboys defense has fought back all year.
That's it.
And it's with an anonymous tip.
If it's
and they're
them,
used to getting attacked.
Them. If it's them. We don't know for sure. That's just a theory.
Yeah. I disagree with one thing Jane Slater said. I mean, her reporting, I'm sure, is dead on, but the fact that she said, no, this is different from Jason Garrett. Guys never quit under him. Guys always played up to what he wanted.
Is that true?
Wasn't true
okay,
at all.
Okay, that got me too.
There are plenty of times where that didn't happen, including last year. They didn't play up to what Jason Garrett was looking for, right? He was trying to coach for a new contract, and the Cowboys went 8-8 with all that talent on the field. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of examples that disprove that theory, I thought. But, yeah, this could be a problem. And, guys, Mike McCarthy had his press conference after practice earlier today. You know someone was going to ask him about that report from Jane Slater, and here's sort of his response to the anonymous tip given by one of his players.
The anonymous is something I think we all don't really want to recognize, but I'll just say this. Anytime, especially this year of all years, being our first year together, I think it is important to recognize anything and everything for a teachable moment. So. Anytime I have a chance to teach and make it clear what our expectation is and always moving that needle towards winning, That's my approach.
There's Mike McCarthy. Nothing too juicy in that response, kind of trying to downplay the entire situation, which is probably the right move there.
Yeah, I think that's a veteran coach right there. I haven't been sure if he was the right hire the whole time. I know it's easy to – the narrative with every coaching hire, Tom Herman, you name it, any school organization, early on you're going to be positive about it. I don't know if he's the right guy, but I'm not going to get on him for that. I think that was more of a veteran coach, Rod, trying to kind of soothe this over a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know who it is in the locker room, and he has a gauge that we don't because he is, you know, he's there. He knows if there is tension in the locker room, if the communication with the guys and the leadership council, if you will, every team has one, if that's really good, and then what are they communicating with him about, how guys feel about being, you know, at this point in the season, being what they are, a bad football team, but still got a chance to win division, no Dak. So the morale, just a lot of injuries, starting quarterback is out, and you're bad. You're a bad football team. I mean, the morale has just got to be at an all-time low. I mean, it's just got to be bottom, kind of basement, if you will. So I think that's what he's trying to deal with now. It's just a really bad morale. And what do you have to boost morale? You got to get wins.
Yeah.
It's the only way to boost morale, man, is to get a win.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's a great transition, but if you're a sports fan, having perfect vision to watch sports is fantastic. If you're a Cowboys fan, I'd maybe wait on that. You know, this is not the team you want to have the 2015 to watch, but having 2015 vision is awesome. It's completely changed my life. So many little things. We have fun with the leaves on the trees and some of the detailed stuff that we've heard before, but it really does change everything. And I'll start with driving. I mean, heck, think about how important that is, and you can be a lot safer. You can just see stuff a lot quicker, and I've noticed that I'm not squinting nearly as much when I'm driving. In fact, I'm not squinting at all, and that's all thanks to the great people at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Get in there. See what we're talking about. LASIK starting at $495 per eye. They do have guaranteed financing. They're incredibly friendly. It's quick. It's easy. It's painless. It's a lifetime warranty, and it starts at $495 per eye. 512-596-2020. 512-596-2020 or sharpvision.com, sharp with an E, -vision.com, Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing. I mean, even if you are watching Texas and the Cowboys, you might as well rip the Band-Aid off and see what is actually going on, right?
Yeah. Perfect vision's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But I'd watch other football teams.
It's going to be some good football on. It just may not be played by a team from Texas.
Right, may not be played by a team from Texas or a team in the NFC East altogether.
Oh, that's also true.
Which is why the Cowboys are still relevant in the grand scheme of things this year. I think it's a bad thing for the future of the organization. We ran through the numbers yesterday. Like, if the Cowboys win the NFC East, which is still very much possible, right there in first place right now, despite being 2-4, the highest they can pick in the 2021 NFL draft is 18th. Like, they could go 6-10, but because they won the division, they'll be picking 18th in the draft, which, if the Cowboys do make the playoffs, we know they're going to get stomped in the first round anyways, and they won't be picking high in the draft, so that's a double negative right there. It'd be best for Philadelphia to just figure out their stuff and get some of their guys back and run away with this division so the Cowboys can almost be as bad as possible to get a high pick.
By the way, that's unfair to everyone. So that's unfair that they make the playoffs to the rest of the teams in the NFC at 6-10. And it's unfair to you Cowboys fans, too, because you're picking 18th on a team that should be a little bit higher up there. I wonder if this could be the year that they change that a little bit. Rod,
because they want the Cowboys in there, so they won't change it. This is actually how they want it.
Get two NFC teams in there.
They'll give a thumbs up on that.
They'll be like, yes, Cowboys made it in.
Unbelievable.
The system works.
before we go to break here, and we got one and done coming up, Rod, as someone who's been in those locker rooms before, is that something that if it is just one or two guys, is that something there could be an internal conversation? All right, we're not going to leak this, but
who's
leaking to the media? And maybe even have a little conversation of if it is one of those defenders, be like, look, the coaching may not be great. You got to get your ass in gear, though.
I'm sure there are ways to find out who the leak is. But by the players. The players can find out.
Just the players,
through their own little investigation, find out who the leak is, and then essentially plug the leak and talk to them. And they might already know who it is. I mean, they might even be hiding it. Might be like, man, because it might be more than just a few players. Like, you know what? I got a connection.
I'll be the one that goes.
I'm going to go to one and talk to Jane about this. Man. So you just, and you know if that's going on in the locker room, trust me.
If they ever have a leak in the bottom of their boat, they can get some Flex Seal. seal it up and get back on the water as soon as possible.
It's a nice analogy there.
That's what I saw.
You're doing a spot for
Flexi. I thought that was a spot in a late night infomercial.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a great spot for
Flexi. You guys have never seen that? The guy cuts out the bottom of the boat?
I've seen it.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen
They've got those, like, inflatable pools, mm-hmm. like temporary pools, and it's like, oh, you know, Flex Seal.
Oh, when you get a hold of it.
That'd be Flex Tape, actually, to tape the side shots in the water.
That's Flex something.
Just duct tape it, man.
All right, so we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Do you move up and go get a quarterback, maybe if you're the Cowboys? I mean, Rod has done a great job of illustrating just how important going up and getting a quarterback is and how it can also help you out if you get them early on in the contract. Well, there's three guys we consistently talk about, right? Three guys are going to be first-round picks that are in college right now, but first-round picks this next NFL draft. The NFL is looking at a fourth one. And he's piquing interest. I'll tell you who up next.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time on a hump day, a Wednesday. Hope everyone is doing well. Want to quickly remind y'all that get to Randall's, 3441 Lakeline Boulevard in Leander. And until 7 o'clock, if you get to the Longhorn display, the Coors Light display, all you got to do is snap a picture and upload it to Facebook or Twitter with the hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill. Longhorns Made to Chill until 7 o'clock, and you're going to be registered for a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op. I know someone who would definitely like that, and I think I may have to get him a $50 gift card on my own to the co-op, is Chris Bennett, guys. Chris Bennett, CB, is making his way to Washington and doing it today. He's been
Shout out, CB.
Yeah, shout out. I got to give him an extra shout out. CB left me a gift as he was departing.
A gift or a gift?
A gift.
Okay.
A gift. And he won this. I forgot how he won it. I think it was Sports Illustrated a couple years ago. And he won a football that commemorates the Catholics versus convicts game.
Wow.
1988. My second favorite college football game of all time, behind Texas, Kansas. I think that was 07. What year was that? No, behind, obviously, Texas, USC.
Okay, just making sure you're not talking about the loss.
No,
Kansas.
I'm not.
I was like, come on,
no,
man.
That did some good things, but not as good as I thought. But, yeah, so Notre Dame won that game 31-30. It is a classic. It was 1-4. It was Notre Dame coming back. It was the height of Miami. And he didn't have to do that. In fact, a couple times I would rib him and be like, oh, that's really awesome that you got that. And for him to give me that just shows you how cool of a guy he was. Not that he needed to do that to prove that, but he has been a huge part of a lot of our lives. And it's also one of the really good things about social media, right? Mm-hmm. We get on social media, and as I said, it's a giant bathroom wall. And giant bathroom wall, there are some funny jokes if you keep on reading long enough. And if you're there long enough and you realize, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad writing on the wall. Chris Bennett is one of those really good things that you get with social media, and you end up meeting people and establishing friendships and relationships that otherwise you wouldn't have. So, CB, you're going to be missed. We also know you're not going anywhere. You are, but you're 2 hours behind. He is going to be still listening to every show. He's still going to be participating. So thank you very much. That meant a lot to me, and that is already displayed in my office. I already got it up. Got Catholics versus convicts right next to a Texas football, too.
In your office.
No, my office
room.
He's
got an office, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you need an office.
Got a desk.
We work in sports radio. What the hell you need an office for?
You keep the bills there, and you keep like all of your really important documents.
That's pretty much what I have.
You don't have one of those.
Right. It all goes
in
the garbage.
When you pass 30, you need an office for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
It's annoying.
And sometimes I'll go in there with my laptop, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some things. I'm like, why don't you just go in the other room,
the living room, and turn the TV and watch?
Are you trying to act professional?
TVs.
Here.
You're not writing a novel here.
Yeah,
exactly. What are you doing?
What am I doing? So shout out to CB. Hope you guys have a safe trip.
CB, and, classy dude, man.
Yeah,
I love CB.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. I consider CB a friend for real.
I do too.
Up. Yeah.
And that's kind of what my social media thing is that you may not even meet someone in person, and you can develop a friendship.
Strange.
And yeah,
it's
a relationship.
Weird.
It is weird, but that's one of the good things about social media, and I would definitely throw Chris Bennett on there.
I saw people get catfished.
Yeah.
They form a relationship.
The downfall of society.
That's catfishing, not social media. That's what Charlie was talking
that was
about.
That was Manti Te'o, which was years after that 88 game. I wonder if Michael Stonebreaker got catfished.
Oh,
we wouldn't know,
what
though.
What a great story that was. That was such a fun time in college football. He got catfished.
I felt bad for the kid,
everybody,
man.
Afterwards, everybody did, because everybody figured out what it actually was. I knew what it was.
I didn't know what it was.
I watched a documentary like a year before that came out, and it was called Catfish. Now it's an MTV show. And about catfishing, all people getting catfished all over the country. It happens all the time.
I heard that, and I literally thought, did he go down south, and was he sticking his mouth in rivers up catfish?
Oh, that's called noodling.
Noodling. That's
called noodling. I got family that do that.
What is noodling?
Noodling is when you stick your hand into like a river hole or something, and you basically your finger looks like a worm to a catfish, and you can
yank it out.
Yank out catfish.
Okay.
Noodling.
Gotcha. I've heard of that before.
Yeah. Does that hurt?
I think hillbilly hand fishing is what they also call it.
Hillbilly hand fishing. Noodling is the appropriate term, though.
They don't have teeth. Catfish don't have, like, traditional teeth.
But it hurts, I thought.
So it hurts a little bit, but it doesn't hurt as much as, like you think of something with teeth biting you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier.
You're not
going to
bleed, necessarily.
I'm not going out
Still,
doing
I'm
it.
I'm not doing it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
out. I'm good on catfish altogether,
I'm not doing that either.
You don't like catfish?
I eat too much crap.
So, well, it's true. Yeah. They do eat a lot of crap.
Yeah.
They literally swim the floor.
I'll eat the other fish.
Yeah, that's true.
The bottom feeders.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get some college football here. Read a pretty good article on Yahoo, and it's about college quarterbacks, but specifically it's about Zach Wilson. And, you know, we get to that time right now, guys.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Yeah, he is. And last year, Zach Wilson, he's a quarterback for BYU, if you don't know. He's a junior right now. He's going into his third year of starting. Last year, like a lot of sophomore years, you go back to Colt, was up and down. He had 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Zach Wilson is one of those guys that's very creative. And he will throw some no-look passes. He will drop down from different arm angles. I'm not saying he's Mahomes, even though I was really early on Mahomes. He is, but he's got that type of game where you want to let his creativity shine.
Yep.
But like with all great young quarterbacks that are creative, Rod, you also got to temper that a little bit. And that is where back in the day they didn't do a good job. They pretty much said, I'm going to take all the personality out of you, and I'm going to turn you into the quarterback I want to be. It gets back to offensive minds adjusting more around their talent.
Yeah.
Now they do a pretty good job of saying, no, let's clean some things up like Andy Reid did with Mahomes, but I'm not going to take away your brilliance. That's why we like you.
I totally agree. Essentially with like almost skillful, like it was like castrating part of their skill.
Yes.
And that make them be a pocket passer all the time.
Like, right.
Well, use some of the athleticism. It was weird. It was strange.
It is weird. So they've done a good job at BYU of making sure that they try and clean some things up. And if you look at him this year so far, man, is it cleaned up. He looks really good. Skip Holtz took him on at Louisiana Tech. BYU won that 45-14, and Holtz, the head coach, afterwards said he recalled playing Patrick Mahomes at Tech and Dak Prescott at Mississippi State and walking off the field with the same feeling he had playing Wilson. Quote,
wow,
he's the difference.
Wow.
Yeah. He was 24 for 26 that game with 325 passing yards. And Holt stressed that those weren't stats inflated by bubble screens and checkdowns. BYU is going downfield. Rod, you like to talk about pushing the ball downfield. They rank number 2 nationally, 12.1 yards per attempt. Like, they're not messing around. They're actually trying to bring back the lore and really what all of us think of BYU, which is throwing the football. And yeah, they dink and dunked under Norm Chow and Lavelle Edwards with all those quarterbacks, but they also threw the ball down the field. Holtz also said he threw a beautiful ball just time and time again. It wasn't like that was a great throw. He threw 10 of them in our game and didn't miss any. Back and watch. So I had the Houston game taped and went back and rewatched it a little bit last night. And, guys, he was throwing some frozen ropes, some dimes, a couple hitch routes where and he threw one hitch route that was a no look. He's looking at the linebacker and knows where the hitch is going to be and is still looking at the linebacker and throws a dart. I'm not sure I would do that every play, but he's doing a good job of using his eyes, and he's cleaned it up a lot more this year. Wilson has 12 touchdown passes, just one interception. He does run pretty well, too, 6 rushing touchdowns. He had a dad that was incredibly overbearing, and he pretty much says that in this article. So
Is his dad trying to turn him into the next great quarterback?
Super basketball kid, wasn't he?
He would play 120 games in eighth grade.
Oh, basketball? Year.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they would travel state to state. So, BK, you know a little Zach Wilson stuff.
Yeah, there. I guess I was watching some of this game, and maybe from years past, right, because he started games the last couple of years at BYU, and I feel like I remember hearing this on a telecast one time, how he just grew up playing a ton of basketball.
Interesting.
So he's obviously really good at that, but he just chose to play football, and right now it seems like the right decision for him.
It is the right decision. Hmm. So he didn't get a ton of rides. He's got a lot of family. His uncle founded JetBlue, so he's probably got some money there.
The walk-on linebacker at UT?
That's Jet Bush. Sorry. Different. Wilson's uncle did that, and is a huge Utah alum, pretty much founded the lacrosse program and paid for all that. And Utah got in. His mom went to Utah. Utah got in really late. You know who didn't, though? He originally committed to Boise State. Give Brian Harsin a little bit of love.
Credit.
And Boise State does a good job evaluating. This is 2017. You know who else gave him a ride? God, this guy's a good coach. Matt Rhule found him in Utah.
I believe it.
I know. I saw that, and I thought Baylor 2017. I thought, of course he did.
Dang.
He went out and found that kid. That's but awesome. At the end of the day, BYU got him to sign. It was actually pretty close. I encourage everyone to read this Yahoo article. You get a better feel for kind of how he signed. But he is torching it right now. He's completing 78% of his passes, 78.7 to be exact. That puts him on pace to break Steve Young's record at BYU for 71.3. He's also ahead of Colt McCoy's single season NCAA record of 76.7 in 2008. That's how accurate he has been. He can run. He can throw. I think the arm strength, it's not Mahomes level. Not many people are. It's not Josh Allen level. But it's good enough to be a starting quarterback. Here's Jeff Traylor. Remember Beast Texas? Came here to be a tight ends coach and then has been the head coach at UTSA. They played him, and Wilson went for 25 of 35 for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And this is what Jeff Traylor said. He reminded me of Jared Goff and how effortlessly.
Nice.
Oh, why was that so tough for me?
It is tough. It's not an easy word.
It wasn't effortless.
I know. I was hoping one of y'all would jump on that.
Nice.
And you did. Well done.
Good job.
Anyway, he said it's a smooth throw. He's a guy on the pitcher's mound throwing 92, and it looks like an 80-mile-per-hour changeup. I thought that was a great analogy. And then he went on to say he's the golfer who swings effortlessly.
There we go.
We got it.
And charm.
Yeah, it smashes. Shut up. You know what? Next time you do that, we usually get one of those every other day. I'm going nuts on you.
The floor is always open.
I don't make fun of me with that because I do it all the time, so I let it go.
Well, hey, three's a crowd. So he smashes his drive, and that's kind of what this guy is. It doesn't look like he's really ripping it, right? It looks very smooth, and yet the ball jumps out of his hands. Like I said, he doesn't have one of those arms that is Mahomes-type level, but this guy's going to play at the next level. The question is, does he maybe sneak into that first round? He's already talked to some agents right now. You think so?
I mean, you know how quarterbacks are.
I know.
You know how that is. I'm not saying the top echelon, but it can sneak into the bottom of the first round.
Yeah.
I can see the fantasy football world, because I got friends of mine who are big college fantasy football guys. As a matter of fact, my man Matt Butler is a big fantasy football
man. I believe that, listening to him.
And he loves Zach Wilson. He's from a fantasy football perspective because he's lighting it up.
Right.
He's lighting it up.
He really is. He's been killing it. And so they did talk to some NFL people during this article, and they like a lot of what they've seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's already changed a little bit from even heading into the year. Wilson said he has been talking to a few big agencies about the draft, but he understands that can change week in and week out. Here's what one NFL scout said. He says he's got poise under pressure, accuracy, and can throw from different platforms. Mm-hmm. He has no panic, some moxie, and he's tough. He can really do things with his feet. That's the stuff you can't teach. He can play himself higher than what I see him as. Holtz went on to say he'll definitely play in the NFL. The only question is now, does he really finish it off? And I think that the things, Rod, you did a Rod's rant last week on this, I believe, and talking about all the different things that we used to say with a quarterback, oh, that scares me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the no-look arm angle stuff now,
what the hell?
That's not a negative. All of a sudden, you're looking at it and you're thinking, whoa, we can work with this. So I think that's going to help Zach Wilson, whereas 10 years ago, people would have been looking at it and saying, I don't like this crazy
guy. It's not even 10. I remember,
Five?
And obviously you had a Mahomes crush, so you remember it too, when people were criticizing for Mahomes. Like, oh, he's a gunslinger, man. He takes a lot of chances. Look at this, no-look passes. That's kind of crazy. I don't know if I want that guy playing in the NFL. And now it's like, no, That's actually a skill.
Right.
You should promote. It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
And it's something you can't teach. What Andy Reid has proven
is a feel.
You can clean it up a little bit. And I think that's where Mahomes has helped out so many of these guys because
you're right.
He was a gunslinger. He was a guy. He did take too many chances at Tech, but they've cleaned it up. And so now, if you've got traits that kind of mirror that, there's a thought and there's actually proof to say, you know what? We can clean this guy up, and those are traits that we can't teach. That's actually a positive and not a negative.
The freedom to let him be creative at the quarterback position.
Right.
I think his basketball helps him, too, because it sounds like he's got really good feet in the pocket and a good feel. Was he a point guard, BK, I'm assuming?
I think so.
Yeah.
6'3".
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Got a good field vision. Yeah. All those things.
And he's not having sex, guys.
Well,
we don't know that.
BYU.
That wouldn't.
No, that's in the contract. Doesn't mean not having any.
I don't break any rules.
He almost committed to Iowa, so there's some different stuff in there. But yeah, I encourage everyone to go read this article. It's on Yahoo, sportsyahoo.com. But Wilson's one of those guys. Don't be surprised if you start seeing him on those mock drafts.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was not effortless, but it was a one and
there
done.
There you go. Well done there. One and done well with KD. It's the triple option with RBKD. We've got Off the Record coming up. Today's story, Phil Collins' wife went behind the lines, and now he's dancing on a volcano. We'll give you the genesis of that story next.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner. Rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. In about 13 minutes from now, we'll get back into some Texas football conversation, including the story from the Daily Texan earlier today, saying that the show band of the Southwest will not be in attendance at this Saturday's Texas-Baylor football game. We'll give our thoughts on the Eyes of Texas situation and also start to preview the Longhorns and the Baylor Bears coming up this Saturday afternoon. But our off-the-record story, gentlemen, involves the great Phil Collins. Y'all Phil Collins fans, either as a solo artist or as the front man for Genesis?
Both. It's right up my wheelhouse. I'm not proud of my musical taste, but it is what it is.
He's a very talented musician.
You going Phil Collins over Peter Gabriel for Genesis work?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Great tease, by the way, for your age especially. That was a fantastic tease.
Genesis songs.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, man.
Fired up the olds with that
Every blind squirrel gets his nut every so often, I think is what they say there. So how about this story, guys? Phil Collins and his ex-wife, Orianne Seavey, are in a standoff, according to a new report. Phil Collins is a very nice age right now, gentlemen. He's 69 years young. He is fighting to take back control over his $33 million beachfront Miami mansion with Seavey, the ex-wife, who's 46. She apparently is occupying that with her new husband right now.
Musician.
According to the outlet, Seavey reportedly broke up with Collins via text message back in August.
Classy.
And then went to Las Vegas and married her musician boyfriend.
Oh, what?
So break up via text,
Come on.
The first place she goes is Vegas to marry new boyfriend, who I'm sure isn't new boyfriend, right? They were probably dating while she was still married to Phil Collins. They returned to Miami after their Vegas trip, and apparently they are refusing to leave the mansion, and they have reportedly hired 4 armed guards to patrol the property, and they have changed all the security codes and the locks, so Phil Collins or any of his concierge can't get in. And they can't do anything about it.
And so he has 100% ownership of this. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking, okay, well, they were married. Is this something that she owns part of? No, he owns 100% of it. And it seems like reading the article that they're trying to sell this thing because they talked about real estate agents not being able to come in and show the house.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're trying to sell it themselves or they're just trying to stay and prevent Phil Collins from being able to sell it. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it mentions that in the article that the property is 100% owned by Collins, but CV and her new husband are allegedly threatening both implicitly and explicitly to prolong their unlawful occupation of the property through force.
That is crazy.
I know.
And how many armed guards
do
they have?
Four armed guards. And yeah, they have changed the security. They have changed the locks. They have blocked surveillance cameras. They have barred real estate agents from being allowed to show the home. And I don't know, do y'all have a picture pulled up in there
of her?
Of the ex-wife of Phil Collins, Orianne Seavey.
She's kept whatever Botox place she goes to in business.
I mean, she is a choking hazard for small children. There's that much plastic on her.
Who's John Legend's wife? Who's attractive? I've seen her
Chrissy
in person.
Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah.
I think she's attractive, but I know some people look at the face and it's like a little too bubbly. And she looks like Chrissy Teigen after a bee sting, if she's allergic to it. Oof. Like, that face is just... That's
more
way like, too much.
More
work.
A couple of bee stings.
Wait, yeah,
like a murder hornet. Bee sting.
Yeah,
Lord.
So Collins and Seavey originally married in 1999. They had two kids together. They originally split in 2006. She received a $46.7 million divorce settlement in 2008. But then they got together in 2016, but never remarried.
Oh,
so they got back together.
Boy, it's undefeated, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Apparently, no, it is. And that's what's going on right now with Phil Collins. Phil Collins, he's 69 years old. We mentioned that. Am I making this up, or is he like not doing that well physically?
He doesn't. He doesn't look good.
He doesn't look
like
good.
Aren't his legs kind of giving out on him? His legs stopped working, or maybe he donated them and let someone borrow them for a little bit.
No, he doesn't look. He doesn't look good.
He doesn't look good.
He doesn't look good.
I thought there was something going on with his legs.
He looks older than 69 too.
Well, he's probably partied hard.
Oh right,
I mean, he's partied really hard.
And by the way, I think Phil Collins. This is just a quick check of twitter.com, so it has to be true because everything on the internet is true.
Of course.
Apparently his first wife, he broke up with her via text.
Oh no,
little karma. Good
full
good
circle?
Okay, all right.
Of the office, all how right. The turntables have all turned right. I believe that's what we have going on here.
She got 46.7 though in that original split in 2006. They didn't marry after.
No,
I mean,
he was still
an idiot for getting back together with her, but she has no You need to bring the cops in there and tear that thing
was
down.
Was that half back then, or was that just the...
That's a good question.
Or was that
he
like...
He had
just
to have been worth more,
more than that.
He's,
I don't know.
He's worth more than that. That was also his third marriage.
Oh, so he's probably paid half to three different women then. So that's,
right.
There you go.
He's got a lot of stuff in there.
It's called
a lot of valuables.
Prenups, Phil.
Memorabilia.
Prenups,
I know,
Phil.
I know. Come on,
when you work that much, Phil, prenups, and just say, listen, we divorce, you get $5 million. All right, you're done. Come on, Phil.
She's an easy lover. She'll take your house, but you won't feel it.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I saw some of the user jokes. He didn't feel it coming in the air.
Yep.
So take a look at him now.
Oh,
her
wow.
Coming back to him would be against all odds.
So this, great.
Got to take the chance, though.
Too easy.
Mm-hmm. So there's your Phil Collins update right there, ladies and gentlemen. He's in some hot water with the ex-wife.
Now, is this going to end with...
I don't know.
Authorities having to go in there? Is it going
to
end in a gunfire?
If they have armed guards there, the only option for him is to call the authorities to resolve it. He can't send in his own armed guards.
David Koresh situation here.
He's
got
to send in the police. And I don't know if are they breaking a law, right?
Yes. If he owns the place.
He owns the place. Yeah, so.
I'm looking at this picture and he's sitting in a chair. I don't think his legs are working too well.
What are you talking about?
Some people down?
We're sitting in chairs.
I don't think y'all's legs are working too well either.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I got some maybe bad sources.
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. Maybe something is wrong with Phil. He doesn't look good, though. He doesn't look good.
I just picture this like Victor Maitland in Beverly Hills Cop, Victor Maitland's mansion, you know, when he was holed up in there.
I remember that, yes.
Like, do we need to get Rosewood and Eddie Murphy? Taggart?
Oh, man. That's
all
crazy.
Right. Let's go to break. There's Off the Record, the triple option with RBKD. Let's get back into the big story of the day. Texas Baylor coming up on Saturday. The players will be there, but the band will not. We'll get into that up next.